because that's S-H-I-T. That spells shit, we're aware, and I know that's fucking weird, but listen to this shit.
Heidi Fisher, thank you so much for being with me and for chatting with me on my podcast, Shit.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here and I love the name.
Thank you so much. You know what? My life coach, who I had about a year ago, it's so funny. I had just met this woman, and it turns out she's from my hometown of Pittsburgh. Quickly found out she was a life coach. And then when I decided that I wanted to start doing a podcast, and I had already recorded the first episode, I was getting ready to release it, but I did not have a name for the podcast. And I said, what if I call it Listen to This Shit? And she responded back and just, you know, wrote out, you know, the letters S-H-I-T, self-help ideas, thoughts. And I thought, okay, that's the fucking answer right there.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That's the thing. And so it was, what a gift. Mm-hmm. So anyways, thank you. And it helps too, because I tend to be very self-deprecating. And yeah. I also just love the word shit, and it just, right. I mean, it's, I definitely want to help people, but I definitely also want to do it in a lighthearted manner. And I definitely would like to let go of the, you know, any sort of shoulds or ideals that I put on this podcast, which I constantly battle with.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Which I assume that you could probably relate to that.
Yeah.
So I just want to say, you know, Heidi, we met literally, a few weeks ago. We connected on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I did an interview with a friend of mine who is you know, a licensed counselor and does EMDR and deals with trauma specifically. And I came across one of your illustrations. And I was like, this is so perfect. And I thought, this is somebody created this. I have to find out who this was. So I found your Instagram, and then I reached out to you, and I'm thinking, God, I hope she lets me use this image. And you were so sweet. And you were like, abso-friggin-lutely. And I used it. And then I quickly found out, you know, this is, you do a lot more than just create, you know, clever heartwarming illustrations about mental health.
Yep.
You're doing a shitload with it.
Yes.
And I just want you to know, you know, I dug through some of your stuff. I read several articles that you did for the Mighty, and I just loved them. And I know that you are also a public speaker, and I know that you've probably shared all of this info a million times, and I've read a lot about you just through your website and whatnot, but I would love for you to just talk more about it.
Yeah.
Today. And yeah.
Sorry.
No. This is always so awkward too, especially because we're just doing this over audio, which is handy, but you know, you never know,
yeah.
Right? When you're sitting face to face with someone, like you kind of know who's going to speak next. And now we're just, you know, we're going in blind.
Yeah. Just kind of got to wing it.
Exactly. Okay. You started your Instagram page in 2017, and mm-hmm. This is very specific. This isn't just, oh yeah, I hopped on Instagram and got an account.
Yeah.
What inspired you to create your specific Instagram page? And can you just describe what you share on it?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically the story is this. You're exactly right. It was in 2017. So a couple weeks before I started the page, I had actually been an inpatient for my mental health. So I had been dealing with my mental health for probably 10 years or so, but it had never gotten quite as bad as it did at that time, and I was just really depressed, and I had gone to the doctor like 5 times in like 2 months, and we were like trying to add this and whatever, and like nothing was really helping. So finally I just went to the hospital because I was like, somebody's got to be able to do something better. And so that's kind of the mindset I was in. And when I got out, I kind of just had this thought of like, I want to be able to share with people what I'm going through. Yes, with having just been in the hospital, but just in general with my mental health stuff. And so I don't really know why exactly I came on to the idea of Instagram, but that's kind of where I ended up. And when I first started the page, I actually did it anonymously. And it was, but it was really interesting because, like, you know, usually you start an Instagram page and like you have one follower or like your best friend follows and like whatever, like it doesn't go anywhere, right? And right off the bat, like in like, I want to say like in a week, I had like 50 followers and I was like, okay, this is weird. Something weird is happening. Like people are really into this. And like I get started getting more and more followers and people messaging me and stuff. So that went on for about a month or so. And then I was like, okay, if what I'm trying to do is be open about my mental health and like the things that I'm going through, not putting my face on it is kind of weird. So I just went ahead and kind of put my face on it. And then people liked it kind of even more. And it just kind of, I don't know, it grew from there where a lot of people would just kind of relate, I guess, relate to the stuff that I was sharing and talking about. And then to just like, I realized I knew stuff that other people didn't know. So I'd make a post about, oh, there's this program or there's this, you know, type of therapy or there's this and that, and people didn't know about it. So yeah, that's kind of the story of how it started.
I love that. I love that so much. I can relate a bit, of course, with even just starting this podcast a year ago, because what happened was right before the pandemic, I got sober, but more pertinent to this, I decided I was going to wean off of my Zoloft and Wellbutrin that I had been taking for some years. And I did it in the best way I could, you know, and I told my psychiatrist that I wanted to wean off and see if I could do this on my own. And, you know, and obviously things went downhill. but doing that and getting sober at the same time, and then the pandemic started, and I had been playing around with the idea of wanting to do a podcast for a while.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I don't do this now, seriously, what the hell am I doing? This is so, you know, and admittedly, you know, it did turn into almost a little bit of an audio diary. I didn't want it to come off as dumping. But I thought I need to be transparent about what I'm going through and try to be helpful at the same time, which of course that was always a weird balancing act for me.
Yeah.
To do anyhow. I love that. It just goes to show you too, especially with, you said, you know, getting like, you know, 50 followers in a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, Instagram, I mean, social media, you know, there's a lot of layers to it, but it is so accessible. It's so accessible. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, community.
Yeah.
And relating to others and feeling seen and understood is one of the most important parts of being a human. So, you know, while, you know, therapy and, you know, a lot of other techniques and things still can have a lot of stigma around them, right?
Oh, yeah.
People, I can understand why people would cling to something like that, you know, especially because, you know, I did a deep dive through your Instagram page, and I just loved it. I it would be so comforting for anybody, no matter what stage of, you know, they're in as far, you know, with their mental health or how long they've been experiencing, or, you know, because there's, you know, you go through a lot of different experiences and, you know, levels of acceptance around that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. So I feel like anybody, whether they're first coming across, you know, they think that they might actually, something might be awry or out of their control, if you will. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going on and on, but I loved it so much. Can I just ask you, when you did the inpatient mm-hmm. stuff, you did that, you said, for about a month?
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks. Yeah.
It was 3 weeks. And what was that experience like for you? And I say this too, not that first of all, any place would be different, mm-hmm. but you know, I'm in the United States, you're in Canada, yeah. you know, from what I know, you know, Canada's healthcare is a hell of a lot better than it is here. That said, that doesn't necessarily mean one thing or the other, yeah. as far as the kind of treatment that you received, but what was that experience like for you? And what did it open your eyes?
Yeah. To? So I actually view my time there like as a really positive thing. It was a good experience. I don't know when it was, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe more years ago, our mental health inpatient ward or whatever, they redid it. So it used to be kind of, I think, like kind of a dark, like, you know, like in the olden days where it wasn't very nice looking and it was old and whatever. And so it's all modern and like kind of bright and open. So even just the way you feel when you're there, I think is probably improved on from the past, where there's lots of natural light, you know, and just some of those things that make you feel better without even doing anything. So that part was good. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like it was good. For the most part, you mostly are dealing with nurses, right? And then you might see the psychiatrist like once every couple of days or something, and they're figuring out your meds and stuff. Like generally speaking, most of the nurses were good. It's sort of the same as any other thing where you might have one that you like less than the others, but whatever. And then, you know, they were really good about having stuff for us to do. So there's like a little art center and you can go and do paintings or whatever. They had like a little gym where like in the evening you could go do volleyball or something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of stuff. Like you can go watch, like
this sounds
they
wonderful.
Have like a little TV and you can watch movies and stuff. So all that was good. But the one part for me that I always find odd, and I kind of understand it, but kind of don't, is like you don't really get therapy when you're there. Like there's no therapist, right? Like it's just, you're just there. You get your meds. The nurses tell you to like get up or like, you know, take your shower or like whatever, like the things that, and like they're there for you to talk with them if you ask them, but they're not like trained therapists, but they'll listen to you. But yeah, there's nobody that you can like sit down with and be like, okay, these are the things I'm like really going through. And I get it, because that's kind of, it's more of a medical system and it's just not set up that way. So I understand it kind of, but I find that part odd. And I have told people about that, like people who haven't been or just are curious about my experience, and people are usually surprised by that. So yeah, that is just one of the aspects that's a little bit different.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I was wondering actually, when I asked you that question, because I've known people who have been in, you know, inpatient type things. I mean, and you're essentially in just, what is it? Is it just kind of like the psychiatric department of mm-hmm. a hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like what you're saying, it's right. It's like, it's not like getting to the bottom of anything, but it's sort of in a way, it's like not the bare minimum, but it's like, it's just helping you function basically. Yeah. Right. And of course, like you said, getting, you know, meds regulated mm-hmm. and whatnot, but it's also, you know, it makes sense when you think of, anybody who could be going through a really tough time, regardless of what, you know, what they do. For some reason, I'm thinking of really high profile folks as mm-hmm. well, who maybe just kind of run themselves into the ground and then just check themselves in somewhere. Yeah. You know, it's almost like not to trivialize it, of course, but you know, it's almost like a, just get me out of, you know, I can't function mm-hmm. right now in this everyday, you know, this is too much. So it's like, yeah, I need to be taken yeah. care of. And that part, it does make sense, but right. But you would also just hope, you know what I mean? Cause it's like, ultimately you do need more than this, right? Cause even when you're out in the world, having a therapist and all of that stuff. Now, when you had gone into it, had you already been on meds leading up to that?
Yeah, I had. Yeah. It was just like, well, but so before that time, I had never actually seen a psychiatrist though. It was always just like a regular doctor. I don't know what, in Canada, it's more common to just get your regular doctor to give you your psych meds until you need something further, kind of thing. And so
interesting. Yeah.
And
okay.
So I had just been seeing my like family doctor, and for the most part it was kind of okay, but I was never exactly always like ever feeling like I was 100% where I wanted to be. But you know, when you don't know, you don't know, right? And so I didn't know if that I could feel better, maybe this was as good as it was gonna get, you know. And like, I could go in and mm-hmm. sometimes talk with him and say like, oh, well, this is bothering me, or I can't seem to get this part under control or whatever. And more often than not, he wasn't really super helpful, or just kind of would be like, oh, you should go for walks, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like it was sort of helpful, but just, yeah, I never got exactly where I wanted it to be. And then, yeah, like I said, just those couple months before I went to the hospital, I had gone like a couple times being like, okay, look, something's not right. I'm not good. And like, he'd be like, okay, let's try this. And he'd add in some other thing. And then like, all of a sudden I would have panic attacks, which I didn't have before. So I'd go back and be like, okay, I can't take this, you know, whatever. So all that kind of happened. And then, yeah, when I went to the hospital, then of course, saw the psychiatrist there, and they kind of, you know, pretty much took me off of like everything I was on and like reset me and put me on new stuff. So, and then, yeah, after that, like once you've been in the system and you've seen a psychiatrist, not always, but often, then you'll get assigned a psychiatrist. So that's what happened.
Right. Okay. And what had you been diagnosed with specifically?
So major depressive disorder. And then like, I don't really ever get the full diagnosis of like PTSD or something like that, but, or complex PTSD, since that's the new thing these days, but
yes.
So that, or, you know, symptoms of that. But I think complex PTSD is probably what I have. And depression.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I, and so it's so funny because I feel like I've had so much experience with depression and anxiety, but what would you say? I mean, it sounds obvious, the name major depressive mm-hmm. disorder. How does that differ from, you know, a more mild depression or a seasonal affective disorder, like specifically, yeah. Because I know that when I'm on mm-hmm. meds, you know, I don't really have like depressive, like episodes, if you will, where I say I can't get out of bed yeah. or something. So it's so funny how we have preconceived notions of things, even if I, you know, also have had plenty of experience. Yeah. You know, with, you know, being affected by mental health. But yeah, can you just,
so major depressive disorder, usually when people say that, or they just say depression, it's pretty much the same thing. Like it's just the fancy name for it in the diagnostic manual. But okay. I don't know, like I guess for me, It's different because I can't, like you just mentioned, like the can't get out of bed or that sort of thing. So yeah, my ability to function goes down. So yeah, I have trouble like getting out of bed, or I turn into like a serious night owl where I'm staying up to like 3 or 4 in the morning, stuff like that. I've never been necessarily someone that loves cooking or cleaning or all that sort of stuff, but that also becomes like much, much more hard. You know, I can't get myself to go to work, or, you know, I don't want to see my friends or that sort of thing. And then just really some of those darker thoughts of like, you know, I don't really want to be here anymore. Maybe I should end this. And that kind of becomes like a constant like thought process in my head. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And do you feel like, and can I mm-hmm. ask you if you feel comfortable sharing what medications you're on now?
Well, it's quite a list, so I'm not gonna... Okay. I don't know, but okay. I can give a general, I think. Sure.
Sure.
So I'm on quite a few. I'm on one that's actually for technically for ADHD, but it gives me energy. I'm on Prozac, everybody's best friend. I'm mm-hmm. on, let's see, mirtazapine before bed, clonidine before bed, and clonidine is a new one. So that's actually a medication that slows down the heart, but some doctors are using it now sort of as a thing for PTSD of like it can calm your nervous system. And then I'm probably on a few others, but it's like it's a nice long list.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. And then I know it's so interesting too, right? Because there's so I've always been really curious about how helpful taking, you're right, a certain amount of medications are, you know, and yet at the same time, you know, that's, you know, that I understand that notion or that thought even that comes into my brain. I mean, how is that much different than anybody saying, oh, you know, medication doesn't work, or it's, you know, that it just numbs you out, or it's not helpful, or I don't mm-hmm. want to be, you know, right, or completely demonizing it altogether. You know, what there's no difference, you know. Okay, so I take Zoloft right now. That's the only thing that I'm on. Who gives a shit? But you know what I'm saying? Like there's judgments that that I know that I still tend to carry even deep down, but it's, of course, that's it's hard not to when it, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm 35, you know, it's safe to say that our parents' mm-hmm. generation, you know, there's still, you know, like we're probably, you know, the last of the really, of the what am I trying to say here? Our generation still has, not to say that, you know, future ones don't too. I mean, it's just like, I mean, look at, you know, racism mm-hmm. and homophobia and all these sorts of things. It doesn't matter if it's more widely acceptable. These things still tend to live on, but my point is that there are so many just preconceived notions and stigmas surrounding this stuff, and it's difficult. It's difficult for people to surrender and to want to say, you know, something is going on. See, I think what's so beautiful about the fact that you know, have gotten the help that you need and are taking these meds and whatnot is the fact that you recognize that you mm-hmm. needed help, you know, and so many people live with mental disorders who you know, whether or not they think they might need help, it may not be accessible, or they might not feel like it's accessible. And there's a lot of fear involved.
Yeah.
And of course too, and I would assume, just because you've been on meds for some time, that you've had an experience where one probably didn't work for you.
Oh yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Like, you know, sometimes you go on them and they kind of have a bunch of side effects right off the start and you can't deal with them, or like kind of some of the side effects sort of build up over time and then you can't, or it just seems like sometimes they just stop working, or, you know, so I've had just about all of those happen and you kind of just have to go through the process. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's a painful process, but it's always worth it when you find something that works.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Even just to go back to what your doctor had said to you, right? Just something as simple, like try going for a walk. And it's like, you know, walks are fantastic, but I have to be able to function. I have to be able to lift myself up and eat a meal, or have a rational thought in order for a walk to actually feel helpful. But a lot of people don't really understand.
And that day that I was there, I've told this story before, but I remember that particular time because I had gone in and I was telling him, I'm so tired all the time. Like, I can't function. I'm so tired. Like, I can't put on my socks. You know what I mean? And then his response to me was, well, how, like, have you been getting any exercise? And I thought, like, he had just asked me if I knew how to fly to the moon, because, like, I was just telling him I could barely function, and he didn't hear me, you know what I mean? Jesus. So we run into that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not helpful.
Yeah.
Way to feel seen. Let me ask you this. So I know that you've done public speaking. Who have you spoken to specifically? What kind of groups of
people? So kind of all over the place. So I do a lot of speaking at high schools. Or even like whatever, grade 7 to grade 12 or so. And I love doing that. And then I also do for some university classes. So usually it's a lot of like nurses, doctors, physical therapists, you know, all that sort of stuff. I've done that just at some businesses where like they just want to have like a professional development day, or they're trying to, you know, encourage people to deal with their mental health or something like that. So I've done that. And I'm trying to think what else, and some just kind of like community events as well. So kind of all over the place. Yeah. I really love doing it.
That is so wonderful. And I have to ask you this because, what's so fantastic is, I can't remember the quote that I saw. I don't know if it was on your Instagram or your website, the quote that's basically, you know, saying, isn't it great how we can transform our struggles into something useful, something along the lines of that. And it was so wonderful. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, like I look at your website and all of these things that you've put together, because I would just assume, and even though obviously what you're sharing with people is your experience, you know, with, you know, mental health struggles. And yet I might look at your stuff and think, but you seem so fully functioning. Like, you've really got your shit together. And, you know, and I say that too, as somebody who also has ADHD and doesn't take anything for it, you know, and since, you know, depression really can knock you on your ass and leave you feeling unmotivated and unworthy and not wanting to do anything. How do you do this?
Great question. And that's a question I have for myself. So I have a little poem that I wrote, and I think I posted it again recently, but it's sort of about like, why is it that, you know, I can speak to a full room of people, but then I can go home and I can't do my dishes, or I can do this, but I can't do that. And the answer is, I don't really know, but it's just the way it works. But I think part of it is like, this is sort of like my passion. Like, this is what gives me life, what makes me happy, what, you know, I'm doing this. I started this on my own, not to make money. Of course, I enjoy making money, but like, it, I just started it for fun. And that's, you know, behind everything is that of, I'm doing this because it's really important to me. It helps me, it helps other people. And so even when I'm kind of, even at my worst, I still want to do this stuff. But I kind of learned something neat, because of course I've been doing this page for a while now, and kind of, you know, I was doing good and whatever. And then of course, at a certain point, I did have like another depressive episode, and I was like, okay, how am I going to deal with this? Am I going to just post and pretend like I'm fine so that my followers will be like cool with it, you know, or whatever. And no, no, right. Not. So, and like, even right, I'm right now, I'm okay, but I'm definitely going through a more kind of difficult time as well. And I'm just being honest about it. Like, hey, this is what's going on. And like, oh yeah, I saw my therapist today, you know, or whatever. And even that has been really motivating, because when I don't have to pretend. So even when I am in one of those more down times, I'm not like trying to generate content that's saying I'm fine. And so, yeah, I don't feel the need to, I don't know, perform in any sort of way. Yeah.
Exactly. And that makes so much sense. And that's so beautiful, because it's like the absolute minimum, you know, being ourselves, allowing ourselves to be where we are, and then share that, and then feel, I mean, that's just, and I just really love that. And what a great, just what a great, what a wonderful thing that you have been able to use these really rough things to the advantage of you and others. And it's just, it's such a special thing. I
thank you.
Just commend you. I have a question for you. You are, according to your website, and this is in quotes, a lived experience consultant. Now that sounds fairly obvious, but can you explain what that is?
And yes. So I just recently put that on there for a variety of reasons. So first of all, to explain what that means is, it's kind of gotten, which is a good thing, when it comes to like research or like studies or different things going on, like say at the university or whatever, they're trying to do this thing now, especially in healthcare, where at least one or two people that's involved with the study or whatever is somebody who has lived experience. Now that doesn't sound like rocket science from our perspective, like, you know, we're kind of like, well, duh, but from the scientist and the professor side of things, this is a very new idea of, oh, maybe we should include the people that we're studying, you know, or whatever, and designing the study and that sort of thing. So a couple years ago, I found out about a study being done, and they are looking for lived experience people. So I signed up to do it, and you know, you get paid and like everything, so that you're, you know, your, and your input is valued, and it was a really great thing. Now, of course, with doing my Instagram, doing my public speaking, I write articles, I do all sorts of stuff. I often do have people messaging me and asking me questions and stuff like that. And so that's fine. But then sometimes it gets a little bit more involved where they're like, well, I'm thinking about doing this with my business, or I'm thinking about this and that. And it's kind of gotten to the point where, like, if you're a business or if you're asking me for something more involved, I have value. And so I think you need to pay me. And so, So that's kind of what I'm trying to do with that on my page, of just like, you know, if it's just a one-off question or just you know, conversation, that's fine. But if it's like you're a business or something like that, then you probably have enough money to pay me something for my knowledge. And you know, I do have a lot of knowledge of just what it's like to live with a mental illness, what it's like to use the system. So yeah, I don't know. I just have to remind myself and other people, like, what I know and what I can provide has value. So yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And that's such a, isn't that a difficult thing to finally surrender to? If we want to consider surrendering to it. Well, because it is a sort of a surrender, you know?
Well, and like when now I'm starting to have some of those conversations and I say that and then the conversation kind of ends. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to get the opportunity to help with whatever it was that they're wanting me to help with. But also I'm not like going to use my time and not get paid. So yeah.
Absolutely. Abso-friggin-lutely. 1000%, you know? I mean, it's just funny the things that we do put that society is used to putting value on, as opposed to, you know, I mean, the things that you've experienced and that you can share in your own wisdom and insight is, I would say, much more valuable than most shit.
Because it
just is. I mean, it's you know, it's like methods for living, you know, even if, you know, even if there isn't mental illness, right? Because everybody still has pain, you know, and as a human, you know, I suppose sociopaths and other things like that. I didn't want to leave them out. That's terrible. But I have a question for you here. I know that you have a master's degree in marriage, family and child counseling, but you aren't a practicing therapist. What led you to decide not to do that? Well, that, of course, that is also if that was the intention in getting your master's in that to begin with.
It kind of was. So I'm kind of one of those odd ducks that like really loves school, but then doesn't really know what to do when I'm done. So I kind of went into getting this degree of being like, I think I want to do this, but I'm not really sure, but whatever, I'll just give it a go. And kind of about halfway through, like it was a 3-year thing. So maybe around the end of year two or so, I was kind of like, I don't know, but I'm going to finish this because I have like another year to go. And I kind of joke with people. I like doing jobs that are like counseling adjacent, or so it's like, I like doing stuff where it's like, you know, I'm supporting people, or maybe more like an education piece or that sort of thing. Kind of like what I do with my page.
Yeah.
Right? It's not to say maybe I'll be one of those people when I'm 60, all of a sudden I'll like redo my stuff and like become like some really awesome therapist, you know, but it's just, I don't know. I enjoyed getting a degree. I enjoyed the knowledge. But it just, I don't want to say it's because I have mental health problems myself, because surprise, surprise, almost all of my classmates had mental illness as well. So it's very common for therapists to have issues. Yeah. So that's not really the full reason, but of course it's part of it. But I don't know. It just didn't ever click exactly as right for me. So I think I ended up just randomly with my Instagram and stuff finding how I wanted to use it.
Exactly. And I mean, and the way that you are able to help people now, it's also on your own terms. I mean, being a therapist, you know, it really is very specific. Right. But there's so many, like you said, there's just so many other ways to help and inform and inspire people, you know, and in a more vast way too. I know that part attracts me as well. I mean, I consider myself, you know, a comic and an actor before anything else, but there have been periods over the last couple of years when I thought, is this my path, or am I denying, you know, going into like the mental health field? Am I just afraid to do it? And what I discovered just over the last year, especially feeling better and continuing to do this podcast, is no, I want to be able to share my shit and just kind of do it how I want, you know, and then do my other, you know, this is a passion, but I don't want it to be my career. Yeah. But like you said, who the fuck really knows? I mean, maybe in 25 years. Oh, exactly. I mean, anything is possible.
Sometimes I think like maybe when I'm 60, I'll be like that real hippie, like therapist, you know, with like a VW van or something, you know, just maybe that's what I'll be.
But not I love quite that. Yet. I love that so much. What have you found personally that helps you in terms of just like daily? I mean, it's self-care is so overused, you know, just but what do you do regularly to take care of yourself in addition to, you know, meds and therapy?
It does change from, you know, season to season or whatever. And sometimes, you know, you need something at some point and then you don't at another, whatever. So one of the things that I really love, well, there's a couple of things, but it's going to bring out my super nerd side, is Lego. I love Lego. And much more than any adult should, but I'm totally fine with that. So.
Okay, let me just stop you right there for a second. I'm so intrigued. I'm so intrigued that that Lego isn't pluralized in your vocabulary. So
it could.
Is this a Canadian thing, or is this just like a personal preference?
So, side note, I lived in California for 3 years, and that's actually where I got my degree.
Get out. Where in California? Yeah. Oh, Fresno. Nope. Okay, that's not far from LA, right?
I definitely learned some Canadianisms. So it very well could be, but I definitely say Lego, not Legos. Yeah.
I love that. That's so funny. I love that so much. And by the way, I friggin' love Legos myself. I mean, I don't have any, but I am currently nannying and he has Legos. So I like to get my build on. Yes. Anyways, so tell me more about the Lego.
And I also love Star Wars. And lucky for me, Lego and Star Wars, you know, are a match made in heaven. And so I have like the Millennium Falcon, I have the AT-AT Walker, I have like all this stuff. I have this big pile of Lego that needs to be built, blah, blah, blah. But it's sort of a, you know, sometimes we need something mindless, but it needs to be like a focused mindless, you know, like, so you watch TV and you kind of like stare through it, or you know, like those sorts of things, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But like, for me, it's kind of more like, okay, I'm intentionally going to sit here and just focus on this particular thing. And it makes me happy. So it's a good thing. So that's one of the things that I do. I also write. So I write articles on the Mighty. So for me, writing is very therapeutic.
Yes.
Like, it's funny because it's like sometimes the worse off I am, the more writing might come out. And so, like, usually I'll maybe do like, I don't know, like, let's just say 12 articles a year or something. And in the past couple months, I've done like 6. So clearly it's something that I do to sort of, I don't know, it helps me sort through my thoughts, but then also I feel really good because I get lots of comments and messages of like, oh, that's me too, or this was really helpful. So it's like, it's the circle of happiness, I guess we could say. And then, yeah, you know, I do watch a lot of Netflix, all that sort of stuff, like a lot of people do. I like going for walks. I like doing photography. I like doing my drawings. Just like pre-COVID, I liked going to like festivals or like whatever happened to be going on, you know, on the weekend, sort of some sort of concert or sidewalk sale or something like that. So I don't know, just all over the place. I think the thing is like, obviously everybody's going to have their own thing that works. And then just recognizing that sometimes certain things aren't going to be what you need, or you're just not going to be able to do them. You know, like there are times where even with Lego, I'll think like, oh, I guess I should be doing that right now, but I just can't get myself to do it. So like, is it helpful for me to sit there and be like, oh, Heidi, you suck because you can't build your stuff, right? So you just, yeah. And sometimes I just need a nap, you know. it varies.
Exactly. I feel that so much. And I know that for me, I've trying to learn and allow myself to give myself what I need. But it can be really confusing sometimes because I've gotten really into the law of attraction, and I've really gotten into the mindset of, oh, I can create my reality, you know, like I am. That doesn't mean that I'm in control of course, everybody and everything, but I am in control of how I perceive the world. But it gets really tricky, because it's like, what about mental illness? Because I know that some things are going to make me feel better, but there are plenty of moments when it's like, I can't, I don't want, that's where it's tricky. I know for me, guilt comes into play when I'm at a point where I'm feeling like, I don't want to feel better right now. And then the little inner critic comes out.
Yeah.
Like, well, then you're just doing this to yourself.
Ugh. Yeah.
What is that shit?
That's sort of, sometimes that's the depression talking, you know. And that's like exactly what you're saying, though, is where it gets tricky, because like, do I do this thing because even though I don't want to and it'll make me feel better, or do I not do it because I don't want to, you know? and it's like, there's never any like golden answer. It's just like trial and error, do what feels right, you know. It's like I do have therapists and stuff, so sometimes we can talk about that sort of stuff too, and she'll be like, well, did you do this thing you normally do? And I'll say no, and we'll talk about why, you know. So
right, exactly. And it's and I know that, I think more than anything, just surrendering to what is really it, you know, and acceptance is the best thing that you can do in those moments when you're feeling maybe all sorts of fucked up, even if nothing necessarily, or that we're consciously aware of, triggered it. It's like, you know, I've recognized that now. I tend to create more resistance when I try to make myself feel better.
Or you make yourself feel worse, because like you said, you get into those things of like, well, I should go for a walk, but I'm not, so I'm the worst person in the whole world, you know. So instead of that, just being like, well, maybe I should go for a walk, but I'm not gonna, and you know what, the world's not gonna end if I don't, like, you know. But it's hard to train your brain to think about.
Exactly. It is, and this stuff is a, it's just giving yourself allowance, giving yourself permission. This is a daily practice. This is seriously a daily practice. I'm so glad that you agree. I mean, I knew you would, but it really, good Lord. Okay, this to me, this was what is so amazing to me. You know, social media is wow. Sure. I'll just tell you this. You know, I took a 6-month break off of Instagram, and I did not intend it to be 6 months. It just turned out that way. But I got back on. I got on at inauguration day. So back in January, I don't know. I just felt appropriate, right? And I was really excited, and I got back on it. And you know, for several months, you know, I was going through, and I was getting adjusted back on meds, and I was going through, you know, just a lot of personal transformations. And I just knew that I felt like I couldn't handle being on Instagram, and specifically Instagram, because that's my favorite, you know, platform. But I was just like, it's too much. Yeah. You know, it's triggering this, and it's triggering this anxiety and the comparisons. It's just making me feel worse. But then I got back on, and you know, it's been a few months now, and I have been actively trying to regulate my Instagram usage, and I can just tell you right now, social media just has me by the balls. So I have to ask you, for so many people, social media can be such a detriment to our mental health. How the hell do you, I mean, this, okay. And I even as I ask this, I realize again that you get the chance. I don't want to answer your own question, actually. Let me just finish. I'll just finish mine. I always do this. How do you keep it, or do you keep it from becoming a real suckhole of doing it? You know, how do you manage your own mental health being so active? Well,
that's a great question. And I'm sure if somebody were to, you know, jot down the amount of time I spend on there, it would be unreasonable. So I'll just say that much. But, you know, I feel really comfortable on Instagram. And like I said, that's just kind of where I started off. And I don't know why, but that's just where I started. And then, you know, a couple months into it, I was like, oh, maybe I should do a Facebook for my thing, or maybe I should do this or that. Yeah. I signed up for it, and I kind of like set it up, and then like I deleted it, and I've never like gone back to it. So I don't know what it was really, but it just didn't feel good. It felt, I don't know, like on Facebook, I think, I don't know how it is now if you set up a page, but it was really oriented towards like, this many people have looked at your page in the last, like, whatever. And like, I know Instagram can be like that too, but this was, you know, 3 years ago. And I feel like Facebook, it was really more like that. And it just made me feel weird and anxious, and I deleted it. I do technically have a Twitter, but it's only because I want the handle, and because sometimes I put my articles on there, but I don't really use it. So just by kind of keeping it focused on just the one platform, I think that has helped in some ways. And then I'm like, you know how everybody said, how they say people's favorite word is their own name or whatever. So I really, when I'm on Instagram, like, yeah, I do look at other people's stuff, but I'm mostly on there to do my thing. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I'll look at some other stuff, but I'm not really kind of, I don't know, pulled into like stuff that I'm not intending to be on there for. You know, and I don't really follow like any like big celebrities. I'm, you know, maybe like Maria Bamford or like somebody like that, but like, you know, I'm not following the Kardashians, and I'm not, you know, following whatever, like other stuff that's, I don't know, just not necessary for me. You know, I don't know, just it's really odd. And even today I was having a conversation with someone, and they're like, do you ever get like trolls on your Instagram, like messaging you or commenting weird things? And I'm like, very rarely. And they're like, how's that possible? I'm like, I don't know. So it's just, I've somehow created my own little odd little universe, and it works. And so I don't question it. I don't question it. I just keep on doing it.
I love that so much. And I'm glad that you figured out just yeah. like, you know, a system that works for you. Because I think it is really pointed. I mean, I think it's the fact that you are putting out your creations and creating content and that it's true to you makes all the difference, right? As opposed to, because I think that we already consume so much and that we're probably already yeah. so, we can get so overstimulated in general as humans with media and all of that. And it's the endless scrolling, you know, but it's like, we know, you know, I part of me was thinking about taking another break from Instagram. And then I'm thinking, yeah. I don't want to, yeah. but something has to change at the same time. You know, I do want to be more pointed with it, but I can tell you right now that I have absolutely, you know, been using it, you know, lately. Sure, I'll share some stuff that I think is really funny and I'll create some stuff, but you know, that validation seeking is fucking real. And once that turns yeah. on.
And like they talk about doom scrolling, you know. Have you heard that expression? So like
yeah, I haven't, but you're it just but looking it makes so for sense.
Something that's awful, right? So you're doom scrolling, you're just scrolling, waiting to see whatever bad things are in the world. So just not doing that has been very helpful. That would be another tip, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That is so wonderful.
Yeah.
Heidi, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this interview. It's been so nice talking to you and getting to know you. And I'm gonna put this in the show notes, but can you just say out loud? Tell us the
yeah,
your Instagram
so
handle and your website.
It's Mental Health YXE, and it's the same thing for the website, mentalhealthyxe.com.
Oops, I just lost you again for like a hot second. Are you still there?
Did I cut out?
I lost you. I lost okay. you one more time, Heidi. Yes. So right after the website.
And yes, so the YXE, that yep. is the airport code for Saskatoon. That's why I have YXE at the end.
Mm-hmm. I read that. I thought that was really cool. And I love that you live in Saskatoon. I mean, this is the... It wasn't until yeah. I was, you know, on your website that I even heard of this place. Do you know that I've never
yeah,
been to
fair
Canada?
Enough.
I mean, I want, it's right there. It's right there. And it's, I've always just had such positive, such a positive view of Canada. I want to go to Canada, damn it. Of course, we haven't been able to go for a while.
Definitely visit sometime. Just don't come in the winter. Or don't come when it's minus 40 or whatever.
I absolutely won't. yeah no, that's a good call. Well, I encourage everyone listening to follow Heidi and yeah. check out her website, and just, you know, because whether or not you struggle with, you know, any form of mental health, you probably know somebody who does, and Heidi is just somebody really wonderful who you can follow and get inspiration from. And is a very positive aspect of social media. So there you have it. Heidi, I will definitely be in touch. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you so
Perfect.
Much again.
Thank you so much.
And I'll talk to you soon.
That's self help. Ideas and thoughts with Bethany. Oh, that was a good ending, you dickhead.